I guess the beginning of Play on Philly also kind of coincided with when you first got to know Simon Rattle.
I first worked with Simon Rattle while I was a student at Curtis. And he conducted us in Mussorgsky's Pictures and Exhibition. And I was playing second trumpet in the orchestra. And we read the piece down once. And then we started rehearsing, you know, sections of the piece. And he finally stopped the orchestra and he said, "You guys, you sound like robots. Everything's perfect. It's mechanical. It's in tune." And he said, "There's a group of kids in Venezuela that would outplay you all any day." And at the moment, I was sitting there thinking, well, hey, if these kids in Venezuela are so good, they would be here at Curtis. And that was my brief introduction to El Sistema. And then a couple of months later, I think Gustavo Dudamel was named the music director of the Los Angeles Philharmonic. And there it popped up in the news about this music program in Venezuela, and I started putting two and two together. After graduating from Curtis, I entered the Abreu Fellowship Program, which was created from Jose Abreu's TED Prize in 2009. And part of his wish was to create a training program that would train young musicians to start El Sistema-inspired programs. So I entered the first class of Abreu Fellows at the New England Conservatory, and as part of that, we spent a little bit over 2 months in Venezuela as part of our training.
What made you go down there? And did you go down there to check it out before you applied, or did you just apply?
So I just applied to the fellowship. I was in my last semester at Curtis, and I was deciding between, you know, potentially taking a professional job in South Korea in the Seoul Philharmonic and also going to grad school. And it was, I believe, February of my last semester where I saw Jose Abreu's TED Prize video. And after seeing that, it was 18 or 19 minute video, it just woke up all of this stuff that I had gone through ever since I started playing trumpet when I was 8 years old, which reminded me that, you know, it's my responsibility to give back.
Well, I mean, what was the video?
It was Jose Abreu's TED Prize video. So as part of him receiving the award, he gave a speech, and that speech is on video. It's available on the TED.com website.
And you say it reminded you of what you went through. What do you mean?
Well, I started playing when I was 8, and, you know, between the support of my parents and my teachers and the many people that believed in me, I was able to get access to the very best teachers in Atlanta, where I grew up, which, you know, got me into Curtis. And my experiences at Curtis, being able to play all around the world with conductors like Simon Rattle and Eschenbach and Dutoit, and to play in Carnegie Hall and travel all throughout the States, all throughout Europe and Asia and Africa. And, you know, those experiences, it all brought me back to someone provided that for me. And that I owe all of this stuff back. I got very used to being at Curtis and everything becoming about me, how I was practicing, how I was improving as a trumpet player, and how I would, you know, hope to win a job one day, or maybe win a competition, or put together a chamber group. But it was all centered around me. It wasn't centered around sharing that. I think of Simon Rattle's time with our kids. You know, those kids are not the Curtis Symphony. It's not the Philadelphia Orchestra. These are kids that have been playing between a year or two. And he's there making music with those kids just as passionately as he did with the Curtis Symphony. And as our parents saw, the music that he made with the Philadelphia Orchestra that same night. I mean, to me, that's giving back. It's giving these kids this opportunity they'll never forget. They'll never forget walking into the Kimmel Center and to Verizon Hall stage with a sold-out audience that literally, I think, went bananas over what these kids did. I mean, that's something, you can't put a price on that. And that's something that uniquely Simon Rattle and the Philly Orchestra could give to our kids.
And when you got started with Play on Philly, what were your goals? You can come at this from several different points of view.
It's a social program. I think putting kids into an orchestra and having them play with one another is one of the best ways to teach them how to coexist in the same space, for them all to have a voice, but it not just be a jumble of noise. I also think it can build a lot of pride, both within each child and within their families and within the community. That's the main goal of what we do. If it's not centered around that one basic principle, then we don't do it. So the kids learn in groups, they perform in groups. There are no assessment tests. We start them from scratch. Whatever they know, it's our responsibility to teach it to them. And then it will be their responsibility to teach their other peers and to make the best music that they can, make the best decisions in life, with the hope that these are kids that don't end up costing society millions of dollars in the future because we decided to provide this program in their life now.
Why is music such a good vehicle for this?
The ways you can express yourself that I think that only music can do, quite honestly, can do it better than any other art form. It's the only art form that I know that you can put 100 people in a room, you can put 200, you can put 300 in a room, and they can all share a common goal. And it could be, you know, starting the piece and ending the piece together. And then I just think on a, even on a spiritual level, there are things that you can't really express in words, but you can with emotion. And I think that emotion can come out in these instruments.
You were playing trumpet. How, do you play trumpet now?
I try to. I'm at this point now where I'm still trying to convince myself I'm just as strong as I was when I was at Curtis. Quite frankly, I'm not. I don't practice nearly as much. There are times when I will go days without playing a note. There are other days when I'll only be able to put in half an hour. There's sometimes when I do have a big concert coming up. I perform in the Black Pearl Chamber Orchestra and still play some concerts around. I also have a professional brass ensemble, a 12-piece group. And, you know, we give concerts all over the city and the region. And sometimes when I have those big concerts coming up, I'm trying to practice 2 hours a day. I literally have to put it in my schedule, you know, practice. I never had to do that before I started doing this job with Play on Philly. But I see my role now is just a little bit different than, you know, being on the back row of an orchestra or even within a group. But I see that, you know, I get more joy out of watching my colleagues teach these kids, and these kids get up on the stage and perform.
Do you administer this program? Do you work with them musically at all?
So I conduct our student orchestra. You know, I'll prepare them for some of the other conductors that come in, for example, like Simon Rattle or Marin Alsop, and many of the other conductors that we've had in. And I love keeping that connection with them. And other than that, I run all the other aspects of the program and keep up with our development and our evaluation and all of the consultants, of course, the staff, overseeing the staff and the teaching artists and really the general direction of the program.
So how old are the kids?
The kids range in age from 6 to 14.
So how do you prepare a 6-year-old for to be conducted by Simon Rattle?
All I can say is that they can do it. You have to teach them. And it's a very painstaking process, from the kid just learning how to hold the violin well, holding the bow well, being able to produce a good sound. But then you work on rhythm. Then you slowly build ensemble skills, because it takes a lot of coordination to get a group of first graders to play with each other, to start together, to stop, to make sure that they're observing different dynamic levels, if they're playing loudly or soft. And then each skill builds on top of one another to the point where usually after about 5 or 6 months, they're ready to, you know, work in front of a conductor, and they have the basic terminology.
So someone said to me, oh, is this a music education program or an youth orchestra program? And I said I had the impression it was a music education program, but with the goal of playing in an orchestra. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
It's a social development program that uses music education and uses the orchestra to bring these kids together. I always like to say that I'm in the business of turning on light bulbs. And it's amazing when you see the light bulb go off in a kid. And it's our job to turn that light bulb on and then to keep that light bulb on. And hopefully get that light bulb to shine brighter and brighter and brighter throughout the years. If we can just turn these light bulbs on and keep them on, then we can keep these kids out of trouble. And they can start to visualize, you know, much bigger dreams. And the dreams might be to be in the Philadelphia Orchestra, or maybe be a student at Curtis one day. And they may never achieve it. It doesn't matter. But I think them being able to, you know, feel like that they can contribute to something, that they can get something out of it, and they can get out of their minds that the world has nothing to offer them and that they have nothing to offer the world. If they can get that out of their minds, then they'll be able to do whatever they want to later in life. So that's my hope for all these kids.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.